The following is a 1500 ESPN Twin Cities production.
Raised on basketball. Raised in front of a computer screen. Raised for covering the game. Raised by Wolves. Now, talking all things Timberwolves with beat writer Derek James, here's Benny Hill with the Raised by Wolves podcast.
AD attacking Towns with his two personals. And a technical foul has just been called on Alvin Gentry.
He's going to get tossed. That's what teammates are for. How about DeMarcus Cousins being the voice of reason?
That's unusual.
Oh, I love Dave and Jim. They're
whenever my life is spiraling out of control and I'm getting emotional, I always say, what would DeMarcus Cousins do? And then I just calm down.
What would Boogie do?
Yes.
That should be the new hashtag on Twitter. What WWBJ? Or wait,
No. Yeah. We're not going to use that one.
Oh, no, not at all. We are the Raised by Wolves podcast, and that was sound from Anthony Davis getting teed up, and eventually he would get ejected from the game against the Wolves, where the Wolves would go on to win 120-102 against the Pelicans. And the amazing thing, Derek, and we were talking about this before we started taping, the Wolves have won two games in New Orleans now without Karl Anthony Towns really being a huge factor in either game.
Well, and I think that was part of the problem and why they never really have beaten the Pelicans very often in recent years, because Towns has not been able to outplay Anthony Davis.
Right.
Anthony Davis is just flat out better. I mean, he's one of the best big men in the league, so it's not too surprising. But what's nice about this is at the time that we're taping this, and there are games happening now, so this may shift a little bit, but the Wolves are fifth in the West. The Pelicans are sixth, and I think they're tied or half a game apart or something like that. So it's very close. So if these teams are going to, you know, come down to the wire together, and it's important to get to build towards these tiebreakers. So if the Wolves win one of the, they probably play them two more times. So if they win one of the next two games against them, they're set. I mean, that's why that we can't just disregard November basketball and these early wins. And I think any time that you can get them, especially against an opponent who also figures to be in the mix, is so key.
Yeah, I mean, it all of this stuff is, and what we're seeing too is, the West is, I mean, you've got the three, you got the big three at the top, you know, San Antonio, Houston, Golden State.
San Antonio doesn't have Kawhi yet.
Right, and that's the thing. Like, they're sitting there in the, I think they're in the three spot just behind Golden State. Houston's actually sitting at number one.
And they just got Chris Paul back, who is playing, like, point guard again.
Yep, and so you have those three, and then it just seems like everybody else, you know, the Wolves, the Nuggets, you know, the Pelicans.
Well, the Nuggets won't have Paul Millsap until almost March or into March because of his wrist injury.
Right.
So, I mean, that's really unfortunate news for both the Nuggets and Paul Millsap, but it really cracks the door open a little wider for the Timberwolves to take advantage. And, I mean, a team like the Clippers, too, you know, doesn't look like they're going to be much of a factor. I mean, Blake has that MCL sprain, you know, which he's not out for the season. But I mean, this could still be a playoff race, even if the West hasn't been as strong, where losing a few games could set you back and could cost you towards the end of the season, especially if anyone could beat anyone on a given night. And then like the Thunder, I mean, the Thunder on paper are good, but they haven't been good yet, and they probably won't stay bad the entire year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's important to get these, and I mean, stealing another one against the Thunder, too, would be just huge.
Yeah, it would be. And, you know, we're going to have we were talking beforehand, we're going to have Fred Katz on again. We just had Fred on a couple of weeks ago when the Thunder were in town for that Friday. What do they call it? The Jimmy snot game or something like that? Because he had said before the game, snot's going to be rolling down my nose, whatever. And so it's kind of the
that's how you knock that stuff loose, though.
Yeah.
I know I was fighting off a cold and I was training for the 6K on Thanksgiving, and I went for a run, and like through the end of it, I was like, a little less congested. So, I mean, good for Jimmy getting out there. I mean, once you know, you don't need to sleep every 2 hours and you kind of start to come through it a little bit, just clear out that little bit, just play some basketball.
Yeah. So, we'll have that Fred on again in a couple of weeks if the Thunder are still kind of struggling, because I'm curious to see.
Well, they lost to the Magic by 18 last night.
Yeah.
So, and things are not great.
So, something is not you know, I'm hearing it's the defense and all that, which is really puzzling to me because I think everybody thought that the offense might be a little bit of a struggle because you have these alphas that are coming together and they're still trying to figure that out. But that the defense would be strong because you're adding Paul George and you've got Andre Robertson back.
Steven Adams is a fine defender, too.
Yeah.
So I think if you're going to sandwich Carmelo Anthony between Steven Adams and Andre Robertson, you can probably get away with a fair amount doing that. And, yeah, the defense has been bad. I don't think they're a very deep team, though.
Right.
So I think maybe for this, I haven't looked at the numbers for it, but maybe the starters are better and it kind of comes unglued when you go to the bench. I don't know.
Yeah. So this is, I mean, this is an opportunity, I think, for the Wolves to, when you take the top three out of the equation because they're kind of in a category of their own, but you know, 4 through 8 in the Western Conference is kind of, I mean, the Wolves are right there, 13-9 as of this taping, and you know, Portland is playing well, which I think we're a little bit surprised.
We've been waiting
by
for them to die or fall off a cliff for the last few years, and they just stay there.
Yeah, because they've got, you know, I mean, Dame is great and CJ McCollum is great. We love those guys.
But I haven't seen much of Blazers, but I guess Evan Turner's playing better.
Yeah.
They have some guys who can be good role players. I mean, they're also well coached, and you can never, you know,
Terry
not account
is
for
a
that
good
enough.
Coach, man.
He is very, but the Timberwolves have to start being more opportunistic. Like, we look at this Pelicans win. And it made no sense that they won this game. It was the second night of a back-to-back in which the first night they played the Wizards without John Wall, let another late lead slip away. They had several double-digit leads that they could have just put on the gas and just made the Wizards quit. And, I mean, this Wizards team is good, but I feel like if they're shorthanded, you beat them up enough on the road, they might just pack it in there. All right, well, we'll save it for another night.
Yeah.
But they did not do that. And, I mean, Jody Meeks was hitting pull-up threes in transition. Like, it was just...
You had no John Wall, and Bradley Beal was not really a factor at all. And yet, you somehow the Wolves just kicked that game away. And that is one of those games that, and you know, it kind of helped that it was at least it was against an Eastern Conference opponent, you know, and then that it's not, you know, it's a team that you're only going to see one more time. But that's going to be one that, man, you know, a month or two down the line, you're going to look back and be like, God, I should have had
it. Would have been that. I mean, like you said before, they're not going to win every game. They're certainly not going to win every close game.
Yeah.
But that's, you still want to win a winnable game at home.
That was a very winnable game.
I just don't think it's that they lost. It's just how they lost it. I mean, just seeing the offense just clench up again and just fall into ball watching, terrible shots.
Yeah.
And just letting the opponent back in like that. I mean, that's not what you want to see. I mean, early in the season, that's fine as long as you wrinkle it out as the season goes on. But then they actually closed out the Pelicans without Anthony Davis in the second half the next night. So I don't know if they lit a fire under themselves there or if Jimmy Butler just, you know, went nuts on everyone on the plane ride.
Yeah.
Which I kind of hope for. But, you know, all these guys should, you know, take that as kind of a personal challenge and motivate themselves in that situation.
Yeah. I want to talk about Cat a little bit. We love him. He's terrific. Like, he's a fantastic player, obviously, and he's obviously one of the cornerstones of this franchise and one of the primary building blocks. But the defense is still a little concerning to me. And he's been better defensively, I think. And, you know, he wasn't too great defensively last night because he just got in a lot of foul trouble. You know, but in the Washington game, he was solid defensively. But I worry sometimes about the complaining to the officials, not getting back on defense.
Which Jimmy Butler apparently put the fear of God into him or something that night against Washington.
Yeah, because like that's been kind of an issue, not just this year. I mean, we kind of saw it a little bit last year too. And you know, at that, you know, last year was just the team was so young and so. You know, we knew that when LaVine got hurt, we knew that, you know, it was going to be probably tougher for this team to win a lot of games.
And they fought until mid
year.
To late March,
yeah.
Which was impressive in itself.
Yeah. And so I guess, you know, it's nice to see that Cat is competitive and that he obviously wants to win. He wants to perform well. But, man, I just sometimes I just feel like he's trying to do too much, and he has such high expectations for himself. And so when things are not going well for him, I think he can get easily frustrated and easily worked up, and then it just kind of it affects the rest of his game. Like if he's having a bad offensive night,
mm-hmm.
he's got to find other ways to contribute. I mean, there's going to be some nights where you're going up against a guy who's defending you well and making it tough for you, but you've got to find other ways.
Well, look
to help
at Jimmy Butler.
Win.
Why we love Jimmy Butler so much? When his shot isn't falling, he's crashing the boards. You know, he's looking to set up his teammates. He's still staying. As a factor in the games in some way, even if he's not scoring. I think that's what separates the very good players from the great players. And, I mean, there are only so many times you can hear, we just didn't make shots. I mean, that's kind of an Andrew Wiggins quote, if you ever realize, we just didn't make shots.
Right.
You know, well, no, you probably just didn't get stops. Because scoring is not a problem for that team, even when you're not hitting as many shots as you would like. And, I mean, we've had nights where Jimmy Butler, Tyus's first start when... You know, Jimmy was asked about Tyus, and all he wanted to talk about was Tyus Jones. He's like, you know, my shot wasn't falling, and Tyus was out there hitting shots and making a difference, and he was huge for us.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's kind of the attitude that you have to have. You can't get hung up on what you're not doing and start focusing on what you can do and other ways to impact the game, because you're going to have nights where you couldn't throw, you know, a rock in the ocean standing on the shore.
Yeah, and I think we've kind of, you know, and I don't mean – you know, you and I specifically, I just think, you know, this market, the fan base, everybody, we've kind of fallen into it's Wiggins, 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 Wiggins. Like Wiggins is, you know, Wiggins is, he's very stoic and he doesn't show a lot of emotion and, you know, he's got to get better on defense and all. And like, those are all absolutely like valid observations and valid thoughts. But I feel like it's been put, you know, the shortcomings that this team has had and the struggles that they've had have been put too much on the shoulders of Andrew Wiggins.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Cat is really, in fairness to Andrew, I don't think Cat has worn enough of, you know, the blame or the criticism or whatever you want to call it. I feel like it's unbalanced. And we love Cat, and I know it's easy to sort of lay off of him because we look at the box score and he had 25 and 13 and you know what I mean? But it's like, yeah, but he kind of had a bad night defensively and the Wolves still lost the game.
Or, he got those, you know, last 8 points in garbage time.
Yeah.
When the other team kind of started to, you know, board everything up.
Yeah.
And my thing with Cat is that with Cat's talent and what we've seen from him, what we know or believe him to be capable of, he should be held to a higher standard.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's unfair. And I mean, I think the team holds him to a high standard. He holds himself to a high standard. So I don't think it's unfair to criticize him and it's not necessarily piling on to do so.
Right.
It's just that there are these things that we're seeing now in year three as we're starting to expect more of the team and we're starting to see what they can do and what's holding this team back from really, you know, realizing their full potential. And Karl Anthony Towns is a part of that. I mean, part of that, too, is that he's a third-year player.
Mm-hmm.
He's still young.
Yeah.
I mean, as strange as it is to say, 3 years is not a long time, especially for a big man where guys don't necessarily come into their own until they're 27, 28 years old. And Towns is 4 or 5 years away from that range.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and again, it's...
Well, I mean, just some of his decision-making. Like, in the Wizards game, it was less than a minute to go. Gets the flyby from the defender, steps up to the three-point line, then takes the step back three back into the defense. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Put it on the ground or take the three in the first place off the flyby.
Yeah.
I mean, just those little decisions are just so questionable. And just the weird stuff, too, I mean, about it seems like he's never really known how much time is left on the shot clock. And so people are like, oh, he's mm-hmm. padding his stats. In which it took me a moment to think about that. Like, well, how is that padding your stats? And I realized, oh, yeah, well, if the shot clock expires, you don't get a shot up, and your field goal percentage isn't impacted. So I didn't really think about that too much, which I don't know. It's never seemed like he's trying to run out the clock. It just seems more like he's not aware.
Yeah.
And I think developing that awareness a little more and be more conscientious of what you're doing on the court and building those good habits so that eventually you don't have to think about it and you just know what to do in a certain situation.
Yeah, and I notice, you know, I know a lot of people are saying, like, you know, late in the game, you know, they go away from Cat and they gotta find a way to get the ball in his hands more late in games, and I get that, but there are times where I can see them trying to establish him in the post and he's just not there and he's not getting himself in the right position to receive that entry pass because he's getting fronted by somebody and he's not, you know, he's not really moving his feet as well as he should.
Or he's just standing there.
And he's just standing there, yeah. And it's like, man, Cat, just get, you know, find a spot.
Go to the ball. Go get it.
Yeah, go get it if you have to. Or if they're going to feed you on the low block, get a spot. And if they're not letting you have that spot, move your feet into a different position. Or go get the ball. Like, you can't, like, I'm watching the Miami game, and I'm watching Kelly Olynyk, who's a fine player, a solid role player in the NBA. Kelly Olynyk and James Johnson both are fronting him, and he's just kind of trying to jockey position with them. And it's like, no, Cat, just move.
Yeah,
just move. They're trying to front you, so just they're trying to take that away from you. So make an adjustment, move to a different spot, or go get the ball if you have to. So, yeah, I don't know. I love the guy. We all love the guy.
I just think, but at any rate, you have to be more assertive in that situation,
yeah,
too. I mean, if you're going to post up, seal him off so that he can't push you around and you're mm-hmm. the one who is the aggressor rather than reacting to what the defense is doing. Make them react to you one way or the other, whether it's establishing your post up position or going to get the ball, setting a screen for the pick and pop, whatever it is. I mean, be the one to create.
Yeah.
Rather than just waiting for people to give it to you. And I think that's one thing that we kind of miss, and I'm glad that Thibodeau has finally started to say it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, to Cat's credit, he is a guy that we know he works on his game. Like, he works tirelessly on his game and improving his game. So I this is not something that I think is – I don't anticipate this being – like a season-long thing. I hope it's not a season-long thing. I feel like it will get better eventually, but it's just, you know, he's just got to.
I think probably too will just come with time as he gets stronger and grows into his body a little more too.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, now that we got that off our chest. So Tyus Jones.
He's pretty good, it turns out.
Yeah, he's not bad. He's not bad. It's been interesting. He started the last couple games, and he's played, you know, he's played pretty well. The offense has at times looked really, really good with him at the helm, with Teague being out with the sore Achilles. And I don't know what was the minute streak that we saw. It was like 107.
201 minutes without a turnover.
201 minutes without a turnover.
No, 101, excuse me.
101. So that's like
over two games.
That's over two games.
Like, if you play two games straight and then 5 minutes into the next game without a turnover. That's bananas.
That's unbelievable.
And since he's been playing, what, about 30-ish minutes a game?
Mm-hmm. It's not like he's playing 4 or 5 minutes on a given night. It's adding up, yeah.
Like, these are, like, legitimate starter minutes, and basically ever since he's become the starter, he has not turned the ball over.
Yeah, that Aaron Brooks starting experience.
I'm glad Tibbs got over that in a hurry.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was kind of odd when they announced that Aaron Brooks was going to start.
But he's
like,
been
huh.
fine as coming off the bench,
yeah,
which
I mean,
is really
yeah.
where he should be at this point in his career.
Yeah, but Tyus is playing well, and you know, I think the turnover or the lack thereof in terms of turnovers, I think it just speaks to. I mean, we've talked about this with him since his rookie year, that he's a smart player. Like, he gets it. I mean, obviously, the struggles or the shortcomings that he might have just has more to do with I think it's just more of a physical thing. It's just a size thing and a, you know, a strength
can't
type
teach
of thing.
Manny.
Yeah. but he's a smart player, and he knows how to make the right pass. He knows how to get himself in position. You know, if he's off the ball, he knows how to get himself into a right spot to where he can be open to get a good look at the basket. Now, shooting could probably get a little bit better. But,
I mean, but even yeah, at his good. Best, I mean, Tyus has been an average shooter.
Yeah.
At very best. And he's been below that this year, which I think is kind of a problem, especially since the Wolves have tried to move away from point guards who can't shoot in spite of all the other good things that they do.
Right.
So I think hitting shots would make him better, but his shot just hasn't looked good. I mean, he missed a three last night where you just looked at it, you're like, oh,
yeah.
It was just a line drive. Looked like a very late release, and it's just not pretty.
Yeah, which is odd to me because he was a good shooter at Duke. Like, the 1 year at Duke, like, he was good. Like, he wasn't, you know, Steve Nash shooting good, but he was good. He was a very good shooter at Duke, and I don't know, it just hasn't translated to the NBA quite as well. But overall, I mean, he's done a nice job filling in for Teague. You know, taking the heavy minutes at the point guard spot.
Now, and, I don't think that when Tyus or T comes back, that Tyus should still be the starter. I mean, that's just
right,
not even
because I've seen that be asked on social media.
Nobody's like, paying a player $20 million a year to come off the bench. I mean, that's just not happening. That's just
right.
The reality of it. But I think it allows you the ability to say, all right, Teague's not having a good night tonight. We're going to lean a little more on Tyus.
Yeah. And that's something that I think Tibbs needs to do a lot more of is, you know, if somebody is not playing well, you know, if Teague's having an off night and it's the fourth quarter and Tyus is giving you some good minutes at that point, I'd say just leave him in there.
Just ride him
until, you know.
And you know what? Having depth is a good thing.
Yeah.
Like what we saw with Gorgui Dieng last night, played his best game. That's just one other thing we talked about, too. I mean, Taj Gibson does not need to be playing 37 minutes a night at age 32 on the second night of a back-to-back when he's already averaging a career high in minutes.
And how many minutes did he play in the Washington game? Was it? It was close to 40, wasn't it?
Probably.
It was like 38?
Yeah, I think so.
37, 38-ish?
I think
yeah.
Part of that, maybe not even, I know, you know, Thibodeau really likes Gibson, is that Dieng has not been very good. And Dieng has played a lot of basketball. He's played 82 games the last two seasons. The last mm-hmm. time he missed a game was 2015. And that season he played 73 games. And plus he played with Senegal this summer. So he might have been a little worn down to start the season. But I think Gorgui's one of those guys, especially who is so accustomed to starting, which is a totally different feel than coming off the bench, that it's kind of thrown his feel for the game off a little bit.
Because
he's made some really puzzling mistakes on the floor that we haven't seen in years from him.
Yeah. And I was the one that, you know, last year said, okay, I think it'd be great if Gorgui was like the first big off the bench for this team. If you go get another, you know, another guy to play at the power forward spot next to Cat. But I also anticipated that Gorgui would be getting more minutes than what he's been getting. And I feel like, you know, Tibbs just doesn't wanna, like Taj. And you presented this to me earlier this week, and it was something I was kind of thinking of before the season started, that this is what we would see, was that Taj and Gorgui basically just splitting 50-50 or 55-45 in terms of the
yeah.
minutes played at the four spot. And
I think that benefits both players. I mean, you preserve Taj for what's assumes to be a long run, or not a long run in the playoffs, but at least a playoff run,
mm-hmm.
so that he's fresh and still productive at that point, but also keeping Gorgui good. Because, I mean, a big part of this bench, you can't just rely on Nemanja Bjelica and Jamal Crawford to carry your bench for the entire year.
Yeah.
I mean, Bjelica, as great as he's played, we're seeing he's a little injury prone. I mean, it was his ankle, and then it was his ankle and his knee, and now it's back to his ankle. And it's just all these things, and we've seen each year he's dealt with some nagging injury that ultimately winds up throwing off his game. So the more depth that you can add, the better.
Yeah. Now, we had talked earlier this week. We were just exchanging, I think it was Sunday, we were mm-hmm. exchanging texts, and a name popped up in my head, you know, because I was thinking, you know, the Wolves bench could really use like a 3-and-D guy, just a wing. You know, not even necessarily a specific like wing player, but just a versatile guy who can play a couple different positions and defend a couple different positions and hit 3-point shots for you. And the name that popped up was Damari Carroll, who's in Brooklyn right now. He's making, I think, 14.
I got it right here.
Yeah, I think he's making like 14 a year, I think.
14, 8. this season is owed 15-4 next season.
Yeah, because the Hawks had signed him to that deal initially.
That would actually line up with, I believe, the end of Butler's contract and the end of Gibson's. And Teague if he opts in.
Yeah. So, I'm not using any sort of, I don't have any sources or anything like that. So
what do
I'm
your
not,
sauces say?
My sauces. So I'm not dropping a scoop like Doogie does. But I'm just saying, like, if he's the type of guy that the Wolves need, I think, for their bench. You bring him in, you play him 25 minutes a night off your bench, and he's a guy that, depending on who you're going up against, he can finish a game for you because he can defend multiple positions and he can hit some outside shots. And if one of your starters is having an off night and he's cooking, you can have him in there for you. I mean, and it's probably, I have no idea exactly what it would take to get somebody like him. I don't even know if the Nets would even be willing to part with him at this point because he's having a nice season for them. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not even saying it has to be him specifically. It's just that's the type of player I think that they need, that they're missing, that their bench is missing. Because the offensively, the bench, I think, is okay. I just think sometimes defensively they just don't – there's not a lot of versatility there. And now you got Belly that's banged up. You know, Gorgie is trying to get going. And Jamal – we love Jamal, and he can come in and get some buckets for you, but he's not gonna make anybody blush defensively.
No.
You know, and when Teague comes back and Tyus goes back to the bench, Tyus can struggle defensively too. So they just need another impact defender who can hit some shots for you for their bench, because I think that's what's really hurting them right now.
And I just don't think you're gonna count on Shabazz Muhammad much longer.
Yeah, that's
it's killing him.
Yeah, you can't.
And I don't think a team vying for a playoff spot can afford to put a guy like Marcus Georges Hunt in.
Yeah, you just can't. I mean, they've got some nice pieces for their bench, but they just don't have enough. And they're at a point now, the Wolves are at a point where they really can't afford to have anybody be injured.
No.
They're okay if everybody is healthy, but it very rarely is that the case where you go a whole season and everybody just doesn't get hurt. I mean, guys are going to get nicked up. They're going to get banged up.
Look what we've seen already this season. How many guys have gone down? It's wild.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, yeah, I just think, and I know Doogie was on Mackey and Judd the other day, and he said that
Wolves have their eye on Nerlens.
Yeah, Nerlens Noel is a name to watch for the Wolves, later this season when the deadline get closer to the deadline. And I'd be okay with Nerlens Noel, but I just feel like a wing defender is more of what they need right now.
Well, here's the thing with Nerlens. I don't feel like he's a player that you should really give up that much for right now because you can just have him this summer for free. I mean, well, you still have to pay him, but you don't have to give anything else up to get him. And I don't think he's a guy that you bring in and then, all your problems are solved. Because, you look at a lot of the things that he's had also in his career. He had that lawsuit against him in Philadelphia where he was sued for, only 75 grand, but it was for trashing a house. You know how much damage it takes to cause 75 grand worth of damage?
Yeah.
And a lot of it was pretty gross. In there, so there's just some maturity questions there. I mean, it's not like you say, oh, Nerlens Noel is a bad guy. And I know some Sixers people got into me over this last year, but it's like just some things that are kind of questionable.
Yeah, and it just kind of makes you wonder. And he's
playing 12 and a half minutes a game in Dallas. He's already wearing out his welcome on his second team 25 games in.
I just don't, and it could be one of those deals where the Wolves have their eye on him because they feel like he would be easily attainable. That might be part of it is that, we could probably get him and not have to give up much of anything to get him. So,
but why give up that much of anything?
Right. When you probably don't even have to. So, I don't know. I just, here's the other thing, too. We're probably going to see Justin Patton at some point this year. I don't think it'll be anytime soon, but we're probably going to see him. I don't know how many minutes he'll get or how much run
he'll
actually get.
He's supposed to be back in about a month or so,
about
best
a month.
Case.
Yeah.
I thought.
So, I mean,
we'll never see Cole Aldrich again.
Yeah. Cole has been I'm kind of surprised with like Belly and Teague being out, with just the bench being so thin. I'm surprised like Cole has not seen the floor at all. I mean, Cole's not going to give you a lot offensively, but he will rebound for you. He'll set some nice screens for you if you want to have that sort of thing. He'll do some of the dirty work for you.
Well, I think he could have been fine against the Wizards, you know, where they have March and Gortat.
Yeah. But there's going to be some matchups where you're just not going to be able to use him. I mean,
well, I feel like against, 20, 25 teams, he's probably unplayable. But against the rest, yeah, he's probably fine.
They probably could have used him in Charlotte.
Yeah.
The Charlotte game last week that they lost.
Just
they
put a big body on Dwight. I mean, Cole he's a little slow, doesn't have any range. But like you said, like he'll rebound. He can be a solid body on defense. I mean, as long as you don't expect much more than that, he's fine.
And if anything, he can just give Kat a couple of minutes to.
Yeah.
Just give Kat a breather, you know? So, yeah.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
We threw out a flyer for questions. It was kind of a last-minute deal about a half hour before we started taping. So we actually only got two, and both of them were pretty funny, actually, pretty lighthearted. Defying Gravitas asks us, with Bielitsa and Teague out and the mostly quality minutes that Jones and Gorgie have played, should Butler or Wiggins fake injuries to get some rest?
I like what you said about this earlier. Is it really that big of a deal that Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns are playing that many minutes when they're 22, 23 years old?
I don't think they're playing
42, 40, like LeBron James playoff minutes.
Right. Well, and again, and I get the league is a little bit different now, but like, Tim Duncan averaged like 39 minutes a game for like the first 5 or 6 years of his career. And it didn't.
He still played, 18, 19 years?
Yeah, 19 years. And it didn't keep him from being the greatest power forward ever. Like, you know, when he got older, as he got closer to, you know, 29, 30, 31 years old, Pop, you know, scaled back. You look at his number totals, and you know, you look
that's
at
right
his
about where
totals,
Jimmy's
go
at
down.
Too.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, do you want Taj playing 37, 38 minutes at 32 years old when you know he's been on long playoff runs and you know he's just played a lot of basketball in the last I think Taj is in his ninth year in the league.
He would have come out when he was 23 then.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think he was a senior at USC when he came out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just not used to that in this day and age.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, Taj has played a lot of ball, so you probably don't want him playing that many. But Wiggins and Towns, you know, they play a lot of minutes, and they've been durable. I don't think Towns has never missed a game yet, as far as I know.
Wiggins has missed one, and I think that was
last year, right?
It wasn't a funeral.
Well, remember early last year?
Or he was sick.
Early last year, he had like a neck thing or something. Like his neck was kind of sore, and he missed a game. I think it was really early last season.
Yeah, it was really fluky, or the season, something like that. But I mean, we've had Kyle Radke on, I mean, who spends as much time around Wiggins as anybody. And knows that Wiggins is the kind of guy who wants to play every single game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have guys who probably don't really want to come out of the game anyway, who are young and want to play. So I don't think that's a bad problem. Teams play their best players. It's kind of the reality of it. Now, Jimmy Butler, do you want him playing 29 minutes playing this many minutes at age 29? Maybe you want to scale those back a few. But the other question is, who do you play for them?
Yeah.
Like, you have to sub somebody in, and that's not usually good.
And that's where it goes back to what I was saying about they need some more wing depth. They need another guy. They need a 3-and-D guy that can come in and take some of those Shabazz minutes. Sorry, Shabazz. And give Butler, a few more minutes that he doesn't have to play. And, if you want to scale back on Wiggins' minutes, too, in that case, you can do that, too. That you have that option, too. But right now, they just don't really have that option. And that was something we talked about going into the season, that
this bench is really a house of cards.
Yeah.
I mean, it can stand and weather a little bit of the table moving, but other than it's just going to fall over.
Yeah. But nonetheless, they're 13-9. They're the fifth seed in the West right now.
It doesn't feel like 13-9, but it's 13-9.
It feels a little bit more 22 games. It feels a little bit more like 10-12.
Yeah, I was going to say 10-12.
Yeah, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how things go the next couple weeks. We'll be back next week with another edition of the Raised by Wolves podcast. We thank you at home for listening. You can find us at iTunes. Just search Raised by Wolves. Give us a favorable rating. You can find us at podcastone.com and at 1500ESPN.com as well. We are, by the way, brought to you by TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand and official TV of the Minnesota Timberwolves. For Derek James, I am Manny Hill. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.